The Jesuits and spiritual directors of Ignatius House Jesuit Retreat Center invite you into prayer. As we begin our prayer time, we pause for a moment, rest our bodies, and sense God's loving gaze upon us. God is here, inviting us to be still and know that I am God. I ask God for the grace to accept my cross and Jesus' help in carrying it, so that with him I may rise to new life. Our reading is from the Gospel of Matthew. Then Jesus told his disciples, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life?" Our second voice is John Mark Comer. Don't read this as just another way of saying deny yourself. Scholars argue this word picture of take up your cross is literal before it is metaphorical. Meaning, again, it is easy for us to miss on the other side of the world in a post-Christian culture with human rights. The primary meaning of this in Jesus' day was literal. It was, be willing to go public with your apprenticeship to me, as a result, to go to death and martyrdom at the hands of the Roman Empire. The secondary meaning is the more metaphorical kind of overtone of death to self. Now, few of us will ever have to take up our cross in the literal sense, thank God. It is good to remember that is not true for millions of followers of Jesus around the world today, not just through church history, particularly throughout the Middle East and more in Asia. But most of us will have to at least take on a kind of social stigma and shame in our increasing honor-shame culture. Let these words sink into your soul. Our reflection is by Brent Otto.
In many churches throughout the whole world, on Good Friday, congregants come up to venerate the cross of Christ by touching it or kissing it, beholding the instrument of torture that Jesus endured for our sake. We stand in awe at the length and depth and breadth of Jesus' love for us, such that he would lay down his life for his friends. The power of God's love is shown in Christ's unfailing solidarity with us in the face of evil. This year on Good Friday, as I watch members of my congregation come up, I saw some pause a long time and cling to the cross, as if their life depended upon it. Others were shedding tears as they came. We do this physical act to know that in the crosses of our own lives, we are not alone. Far from it, for Jesus carried the cross first, and now with us, so that our burden can be lightened and that it will not spell our end. He suffered his passion so that we would live forever. Yet our salvation in Christ does not absolve us from experiencing the reality of the cross, from suffering. Indeed, we know that even among the first apostles of Jesus and the early church, lots of them went to a martyr's death. Likewise, the prophetic witnesses to truth and justice and faith have met similar fates through the ages. But they met them not alone, but in union with Christ Jesus. For as they were joined to him in the cross, so also they are joined to him in his resurrection. You and I, we might lead relatively ordinary and unassuming lives and feel far from major crosses. That's fortunate. But as Jesus says in the gospel, our discipleship with him, in some sense, depends on us being able to take up the cross and follow him. Our life is therefore to be patterned after his, or else we really can't follow him where he goes. A very elderly friend of mine is among the most fortunate people I've known. She was saved by a miraculous evacuation during the Second World War. She managed, even as a refugee, to get a first-class education, to return home after the war, to be well-employed, and enjoy a beautiful life. Later on, she migrated to the United States, had a happy marriage, many friends, and virtually never experienced illness until the age of 91. Her charmed life suddenly changed with a fall. To her shock and horror, the health that she'd come to expect gradually began to slip away. She lost her balance, she lost weight, she lost the ability to go out by herself to drive. Presently, she has been near death for these last days, having been bedridden for months. This has been really painful and difficult for her. The cross found her. Earlier on, she told me that she'd found it almost impossible to face illness and be around sick people, not even her husband when he was ailing years ago. Her revulsion at these day-to-day human crosses was profound. And though she could largely avoid the crosses of others, she did not have that option with her own. Acceptance was the only way. But could she get there? I prayed that she would. We talked about fears of the unknown, of the afterlife. We talked about regret at not being able to live the way she wanted to, the way she had. We talked about loss. We talked about how she didn't want to be alone when she died, but wanted her loved ones praying for her and with her at that moment. After a couple of desperate months of fighting against it, she finally came to acceptance that this was the cross of her life. What followed in the wake of an anxious, desperate demeanor was peace, tranquility, gentleness, gratitude. We hear of the martyrs going to their deaths with serene smiles on their faces. This is the kind of face I see now on my bedridden friend since she has taken up her cross and is willing to follow where Jesus leads. Though she doesn't know the itinerary, she knows in her heart that cross leads to resurrection, and she need not fear anymore. Jesus' core message is solidarity, is compassion, is the courageous ability to be with and suffer with others, especially those whose suffering comes from the sins and injustices of the world. So taking up our cross and following Jesus is about living this solidarity and compassion.
Speak to God in these final moments about whatever is stirring in your heart.
Thank you.
Sweet Jesus, when you carried your cross, you accepted it as the consequence of loving without counting the cost, and a testament to your faith that the love of God can even conquer death. Give us the courage to trust you, to follow you, to know you never leave us alone, and that the way you go leads to eternal peace, light, freedom, and truth. Amen.